Hey guys, I'm happy to announce a partnership with Reformation Heritage Books. Do you want to start reading the Puritans but just don't know where to begin? Puritan Treasures for Today from Reformation Heritage Books makes the riches of these godly writers of old accessible for the modern reader. With updated language and helpful instructions, these classic works from John Owen, Jeremiah Burroughs, and more are the perfect starting point for the curious reader. Learn more about the Puritan Treasures for Today at heritagebooks.org/puritantreasures. Use coupon code SHEPHERDS for 10% off your order. That's heritagebooks.org/puritantreasures. Coupon code SHEPHERDS. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hey guys, welcome back. This is the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. Hope you're doing well. Today, we start a 33-week series on the Second London Baptist Confession. We're going to be going chapter by chapter through this confession, and I'm very much looking forward to this. One thing that we're going to do that I didn't announce when I've been talking about this series is that we are going to be doing this alongside the Westminster Confession of Faith as well, and we're going to see that Baptists and Presbyterians have stood in solidarity for quite a long time and really just call for a functional unity between Baptists and Presbyterians in our world today because we are so similar, and yet it's easy, isn't it, to shoot arrows back and forth at one another. And so what we're going to look at is the London Baptist Confession today, and just the preamble in the very beginning, what the signers put together before we get into chapter one starting in next week. We're also going to hear from Mr. Charles Spurgeon before we get going, and we're also going to consider the differences between the Catholic Church and Protestants as we think about church history, because a lot of times Catholics think they own church history, and as we're going to recognize today, not only do Protestants have a historic and robust confessionalism, but we also go all the way back to the first century church confessing that Christ is Lord. We've always been a confessing people. And the church Catholic, not the Roman Catholic, that the church as a whole has always confessed Christ is Lord. We've always been confessional. And so we're going to consider that as well. But first we're going to pray, and then I want to tell you about Reformation Heritage books, and then we'll get into Mr. Spurgeon's quote. Let's pray. Father, we just need your help. Help us as we look through history, as we consider what godly men have put together and have confessed about your word from hundreds of years ago. So we thank you for the 1644 Baptist, the seven churches that came together and put forth documents declaring what they believed in Puritan England. And God, we thank you for the Presbyterian brothers in England as well who put together their Westminster Standards. And we see in this confession a solidarity with the Westminster Confession of Faith. And we just thank you for unity among churches that really struggled and among Baptist pastors and Presbyterian pastors that really struggled to see eye to eye on some things and yet confess so many things to be biblical and true, and that they were able to stand side by side and confess together. And so we just ask for that today in our day as well, as there's so many things in this world that we're up and fighting against and fighting for the truth, and help us to confess this side by side as well. And so help us today. I trust you will. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. Hope you guys are doing good. Got some really exciting news for you. Reformation Heritage Books is sponsoring the podcast until spring of 2025. I'm really thankful they reached out to me, and it's been a really cool thing because I had been using the Family Worship Guide from Reformation Heritage for maybe 6 months or so. We went to hear Joel Beakey, and Reformation Heritage had a big booth there, and we were able to look at this Puritan Treasures for Today. We saw the family worship book, and so we got that, and we've been working through that, but we saw this Puritan Treasures for Today series. It's a 14-volume series, and we picked up a couple of those and had worked through those. It was great. They are great, and then now I have this opportunity to partner with them, and we're going to be doing a giveaway of that 14-volume set in September, but right now, you can go ahead and pick the set up, and then if you end up being the winner, you can just give it away to somebody else. But you can get this set right now for half off. It's normally $140. It's down to $70. And then with the coupon code SHEPHERDS, then you can get it down to $63. That's 10% off. So for the next several months, you guys will have access to that coupon code, so my listeners will get 10% off. Encourage you to go and buy some books from there. We have several works that we picked up at that conference, and it's just great. The way they have edited it and put it together, they've done such a fine job. And I actually have a friend of mine, Dr. Matt Hartline, who has been on the podcast a couple times before. He is currently editing Thomas Watson's Complete Works. And so this new volume is going to be a better and more up-to-date volume than the Thomas Watson that you can get from the Banner of Truth, because this new edition is completely new and completely edited and is going to be so much more accessible to modern readers. So that's exciting. Coming down the line, it's very, very cool. So check out Reformation Heritage Books. Okay, here we go. Confessionalism. This is what Charles Spurgeon had to say about the 1689 London Baptist Confession. This is what he said to his church at New Park Street Chapel when he was an early minister there, when he was a young man. "This ancient document is the most excellent epitome of the things surely believed among us. By the preserving hand of the triune Jehovah, we have been kept faithful to the great points of our glorious gospel and feel more resolved perpetually to abide by them. This little volume is not issued as an authoritative rule or code of faith whereby you are to be lettered, but as an assistant to you in controversy, in confirmation in the faith, and the means of edification in righteousness. Here, the younger members of our church will have a body of divinity in small compass, and by means of the scriptural proofs, will be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in them. Be not ashamed of your faith. Remember, it is the ancient gospel of the martyrs, the confessors, the reformers, and the saints. Above all, it is the truth of God, against which the gates of hell cannot prevail. Let your lives adorn your faith. Let your example recommend your creed. Above all, live in Christ Jesus and walk in Him, giving credence to no teaching but that which is manifestly approved of Him and owned by the Holy Spirit. Cleave fast to the Word of God, which is here mapped out for you. May our Father, who is in heaven, smile on us as ever. Brethren, pray for your affectionate minister, Charles Haddon Spurgeon." Wise as always. I love Mr. Spurgeon, and I love that he identified this document not as an authoritative rule for the churches by which they're going to be lettered and judged, but as an assistance in controversy. He said it was a confirmation in the faith and a means of edification and righteousness, but also he talked about it for the younger people being a body of divinity or a small compass that has these scriptural proofs attached to it so they are able to navigate some of the questions that come to them and the questions that they may have. So here over the next 33 weeks, I set to prove Spurgeon's words true. And with that as a bullseye, let's dive in. Okay. What was the original point of the London Baptist Confession being put together? So in England in the 17th century, there was a massive move to purify the Church of England. England had, from king to queen, switched back and forth from being Protestant to Catholic, Catholic to Protestant, Protestant to Catholic. And then God raised up godly men who wanted to see the church purified, that cared about biblical truth, and they cared about the purity of the church. And so here is the rise of Puritanism. And we had the Presbyterians in England leading the way. During that time, there were also godly Baptist pastors, one being Benjamin Keach. Benjamin Keach was the pastor that started what would be the New Park Street Chapel, which would turn into the Metropolitan Tabernacle. And so in that lineage of pastors, you have Benjamin Keach, you have John Gill, you have Charles Spurgeon, and then up to today, faithful ministers that are continuing to be faithful to the Word. It's just an amazing thing what God has done in that one congregation. But Benjamin Keach, along with many others, put together in 1644, along with seven churches, a confession called the First Baptist Confession, or the London Baptist Confession in 1644. It's a great confession, but it was unique to these Baptists. They wanted to come together and confess what they believed to clarify some confusion, because there had been many people that had been misrepresenting them, and I don't know about you, but it is frustrating to be misrepresented, and especially when it comes to tying these new Baptists in with the Anabaptist, when they were nothing of the sort. They were Calvinistic, Puritanical Baptist, and it was something different than these historic Anabaptists. And they wanted to make sure that those who were saying things about them were recognized as those that were the ones actually slandering. So they wanted to publish what they believed, what they confessed, for everybody who had questions about them to be able to recognize. So those original seven did this, and then the Westminster Confession of Faith just a few years later was published in 1646, seven, something like that, just a few years after the first London Baptist Confession. And this confession was so amazing that the Baptists just said, you know what, that's better in form and structure. So years later, when it became legal, they came together in 1689 and ratified their new confession, which would be called the Second London Baptist Confession. So I want to just read from this confession that the signers put together at the very beginning that was titled To the Judicious and Impartial Reader. This is the reason the original Baptist confessors put their document together. It has been many years now since divers of us, that's many of us, with other sober Christians then living and walking in the way of our Lord, we profess, did not conceive ourselves to be under a necessity of publishing a confession of our faith, for the information and satisfaction of those that did not thoroughly understand what our principles were, or had entertained prejudices against our profession, by reason of strange representation of them by some men of note, who had taken very strong measures and accordingly led others to misapprehensions of us and them. And this was first put forth about the year 1643, so they're talking about that first confession. So in the name of those seven congregations that were gathered, they put together that work, and they felt that their detractors, those that were speaking against them, were thereby satisfied that these Baptists were in no way guilty of those heterodoxies and fundamental errors which had too frequently been charged upon them without ground or occasion given on their part. So they wanted to clear the air in 1644. Now, fast forwarding, why are they putting this together, the second London Baptist Confession? And they state their reasons. Therefore, we did not conclude it necessary to express ourselves the more fully and distinctly, and also to fix on such a method as might be most comprehensive of those which with we designed to explain our sense and belief of, the finding of no defect in this regard in that fixed on by the assembly, and after them by those of the congregational way, we did readily conclude it best to retain the same order in our present confession. So, what they're saying is that the Presbyterians and Congregationalists got so much right in this confession, we decided that we would go ahead and keep the form. But it goes further than that. So these Baptists are doing everything they can to stand, again, in solidarity with these churches. Also, when we observed that those last mentioned did in their confession, for reasons which seemed of weight both to themselves and others, chose not only to express their mind in words congruent with the former sense, concerning all those articles wherein they were agreed, but also for the most part, without any variation of the terms, we did in like manner conclude it best to follow their example in making use of the very same words with them, both in these articles, which are very many, wherein our faith and doctrine are the same with theirs, and this we did more abundantly to manifest our content with both in all the fundamental articles of the Christian religion, as also with many others whose orthodox confessions have been published around the world, on behalf of Protestants in divers nations and cities, and also to convince all that we have no itch to clog religion with new words, but do readily acquiesce in that form of sound words which have been, inconsistent with the Holy Scriptures, used by others before us, hereby declaring before God, angels and men, our hearty agreement with them in that wholesale Protestant doctrine with which so clear evidence of Scriptures they have asserted. So this confession was put together to stand in solidarity. And this is a good thing for us to consider today, both Baptists and Presbyterians, because as you know, you listen to the show, there's backfighting back and forth, petty differences, and obviously we're going to get into that in chapter 7 on the covenants. We're going to be talking about the differences when we get into baptism and the Lord's Supper, and also on church authority. There's some chapters that are just completely left out, I think chapter 32 or 33, that is different. And so we're going to explain those differences and walk through this week by week, but the whole point is, these were godly men that weren't trying to reinvent the wheel. They were wanting to put together a document that said, listen, we're almost identical with you. We're standing with you. We're fighting for you. We care about the purity of the church and for those that would come after us. We want to give them something, put them something in their hands that they can confess as well. Now, so why is confessionalism important for us? I think it's incredibly important for us because we have to understand as Protestants that we have deep roots in church history. It's funny how Catholics typically grow up learning about church history and not so much about the Bible. And Protestants grow up learning the Bible and not so much about church history. But as we think about these two documents, we're able to look back several hundred years and say, you know what, we have a rich history, not just in Protestantism, but the Christian church. There is one church history, and it's those who have confessed that Christ is Lord from the beginning, who have been born again, not by the letter, but by the Spirit. They have been circumcised of heart, and they belong to God, and we confess with them in every single century the same things about God and His Word. And we look back into the Old Testament church and recognize that there is one people of God who have always confessed God is God. He is sovereign God over the universe. And so in this day and age, when there's so many people that are converting to Catholicism because they're falling in love with what they think is church history owned by Rome, what we recognize is, no, there is a beautiful history, a rich tradition within real Christianity that recognizes it, that it is the word that regulates the church. It's not the church that is given the word or that regulates the word. It's God's word, thus saith the Lord, that has regulated the people. And what God's people have tried to do down through history is to say, this is what the Bible teaches, and then we confess that together. And I think that there's a real generous way to do that, to show we have massive agreement, here's our small differences, and this series sets out to do that. So we're going to go back to source material, we're going to check it out, and we're going to see how much we can actually stand in solidarity with, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun. Now, one final thing. Every church is confessional, whether you recognize that or not. Your church either has a sloppy confessionalism, they do have a statement of faith, but it's not really recognized and the congregation doesn't know what they're holding their pastors accountable to, or you have a robust confessionalism. One of the dangers with robust confessionalism is that you can do what J.C. Ryle said can happen so easily, which is you go through the motions of the catechism, but you don't actually love the God of the catechism. You don't actually love the God of the Bible. You don't actually love the scriptures by which the questions from the catechism come. So we want to make sure that we don't just fall into a robust confessionalism without a deeper love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to be able to dot every I and cross every T theologically and know all of our historic Protestant confessions, but lose our first love. I think we would do well to hear Jesus' warning to the church at Ephesus to do not forget your first love. Go back and do what you did at the beginning. 33 weeks, it's coming. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll be back next week for chapter 1 in both of these great confessions.
Thanks again for listening to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. For more information, you can go to theshepherdscrook.co. Please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes, and if you want to become a member of the Shepherd's Crook, please message me and we'll get you on the list. We hope you have a great rest of your day.